Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support for Armchair and the Saints Happy Hour podcast comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ARMCHAIR.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Wait a minute. No, I got the other one too. I'm just reading the wrong one.
You just went full Ralph.
You never go
Ralph. You went Ralph to a level that Ralph hasn't gone.
Hey Ralph, here's a new opening.
And now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody, welcome to a Sunday edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. We got to go a day early because...
Go Tigers!
LSU's playing tomorrow Monday night. I'm going to be drunk. We ain't having no podcast during the LSU National Championship game in New Orleans. It ain't happening.
You're not drunk now?
What's that?
Said you're not drunk now?
I'm a little tipsy, but the thing is, man, like, with the Saints not in the playoffs, I gotta get, like, once the Saints season ends, I sort of go into, like, get healthier mode and reduce the drinking and all that. So, like, tomorrow is, like, the final blowout day of get drunk during the football season.
It's the final countdown.
So...
Oh, look what I've started.
So let me ask you, gentlemen. Michael Thomas yesterday took immense satisfaction and glee in the Vikings getting bounced, and even fought with a NOLA.com reporter over it for a very long time, practically the whole
which
night.
One? Which reporter?
Andrew
Did the Vikings getting skull dragged, basically, did it bring you joy, as much joy as it apparently brought Michael Thomas?
I mean, me personally, yeah. You've got a relish in your enemy's failures and defeats.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, it was like Stephon Diggs was just like kind of both times they beat us. You know, the first time at least he could talk because he made a ridiculous play at the end of the game, but this time it's just like him doing the bike life thing right in Sean Payton's face. It's like you caught three passes, man. Or did he catch two?
He caught it. Well, he caught a touchdown yesterday.
No, but I'm saying against the Saints.
Oh, he no, awful. He didn't do jack shit.
So for him to talk all that trash on the Saints, it's just like, I was like, all right, I kind of want you guys to lose, you know? And the Vikings, like, you know what's interesting is I listened to some Vikings podcasts just to get their perspective before the Saints played them. And I also just kind of went on Twitter and kind of got people hate Sean Payton. Like, opposing fans hate them, and for whatever reason,
hate us because they ain't us.
It's on steroids with the Vikings. Like, those fans hate Sean Payton with a burning passion, and so I don't know. It is a little personal, and I am glad they lost.
I mean, this has gone a long way. I mean, we've got the NFC Championship game in 2009. We've got 2017. Now we've got 2019. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there have been some pretty epic.
I mean,
crucially.
I mean, they crushed us in 87. They crushed us in
2000.
Was it 06? They crushed us.
They're allowed to hate Peyton. We hate them.
But I mean, Kevin, like, they could beat the Saints in the playoffs for 5 straight years, and if they don't win a Super Bowl, like, it doesn't fix 2009 for them. Like, we have that, and they don't, and it drives them fucking nuts. Isn't that what this is?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. But, like, and that's the reason why they, like, I mean, shit, I don't have to go listen to, I don't have to waste my fucking time listening to a Vikings podcast where they discuss this and their favorite hot dish recipes. You know,
they actually did talk about that.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. It's like, oh, what you going to bring the hot dish down to Lake Minnetonka for? Oh, that'd be good.
That kind of sounded like a Boston, Minnesota person.
Well,
look, let me have this, Dave. it's okay. Oh, the bounty system. They were intentionally targeting Brett Favre. What the fuck ever, man. You guys took a fucking guy who was brittle and old as fuck, who could still throw the ball, but was still making poor decisions, and in fact was making more of them because he was old as fuck. And your O-line couldn't protect him from getting his dick knocked in the dirt. And your fucking star running back couldn't hang on to the football to save his own fucking life. And it all fucking cost him.
Breaking news. Adrian Peterson just fumbled again in the 2009 NFC.
And he's going to take out his poor kids when he gets home.
10 years later.
So, I get it. I get it. You're frustrated, and that's life, motherfuckers. Welcome to it. Welcome to it.
You know,
and then you guys get the miracle fucking win in 2017, and then you dickheads, your fucked up franchise proceeds to blow it the following week and gets the brakes beat off of them. And then they got nothing to show for it.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, honestly, the Vikings should not want to play the Saints in the playoffs, because every time they play the Saints, they win. And then they just get their ass kicked in the next round. So,
oh, yeah. How about you rewind?
Beat the Saints. Rewind. Beat the Saints, lose in the next round. Get embarrassed.
Rewind to the 2000 season. Rewind to that season. The Saints win their first fucking playoff game in history. And then they lose to Minnesota. And then what does Minnesota go and do? They go and lose in the next fucking round.
Yeah, no, they got...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Shut out in the NFC Championship game.
That's
yeah,
wasn't
that against the Giants?
That was 2000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
But, you know, I mean, in fairness to them, though, it is really unique.
I don't want to hear fairness.
You know, listen, I mean, you got to understand this perspective, though. It's really unique that the Saints wanted to affect the quarterback. Like, that the Saints wanted to hit Brett Favre. Like, that's unheard of, that someone would want to hit an opposing quarterback. So I understand that they're mad.
The Saints have played 21 playoff games, and 9 of them have been against either the Eagles or the Vikings, which is just weird. I've had about enough of the Vikings. Like, I don't, like, if they get to the playoffs next year, just not the Vikings. And it's not that the Vikings beat them consistently. It's just, I'm just tired of it. I don't want the Vikings and Eagles. I want somebody else, because it's more fun that way. I don't know if any of you saw it, but I didn't see it when it first came out yesterday or whenever it was, but Antonio Brown released a music video mocking the Saints. And listen, I know that
it was all a stunt.
It was all a stunt, right? I mean,
wait, when did this come out? When did he post this?
It was sometime yesterday. Because I saw it on the when I checked the Saints Happy Hour Twitter feed, people were like, "Are we gonna have a breaking news podcast of Antonio Brown?"
But you know what the best thing about that was, though? It's that in that video, in the freaking video, there is a phone call with his agent. I think it's Drew Rosenhaus.
It's Drew Rosenhaus, yeah.
But yeah, where Drew is saying to Antonio Brown, "Hey man, they want to see where your head is at. They're gonna sign you. They're interested in signing you, but they want you in there. They want to see what kind of shape you're in. More importantly, they want to see where your head is at, and they don't want a bunch of fanfare. They want to make sure that you're not going to cause any problems, and they just want to make sure like you're at a good place mentally." He says all that stuff, and Antonio Brown is so stupid that he actually posts it. So it's like, it's like his own agent is negating everything that he's saying because he goes to New Orleans and completely shows his ass.
It's like having held on a job interview and being held. All we need you to do is wear pants. Just show up to the job interview, wear pants, and you get the job. And you come in, and you're buck-ass
naked. There were no pants. Yep.
Now, wait, I didn't know about this music video, but you did, Ralph, and how you did not make that video the open for our show this week is a fucking crime. It's criminal.
The audio for that music video needs to be our open next week.
Do we have to pay BMI?
Shame on you, Ralph.
8 cents
shame
or something?
You.
Damn it.
We'll get it next week. It's kind of unforgivable. Hey, that's why people, patrons, donate to the podcast, become a monthly member, $7 a month. You get the Saints podcast every day, and we'll take that money and we'll use it to have the rights to play the Antonio Brown music video. Turn your money, make it into a better
show. I don't want to give that motherfucker any more money. Like, you know what? Make all the music videos you want, pal. Burn through all that fucking money. You'll be, you know, putting yourself out there to make cameos for people.
I mean, if you're making cameos, that shows a level of celebrity desperation that shows me that you may or may not be able to afford to buy Subway sandwich if you're making cameos for people. And Kevin, tell people what Cameo is if people aren't familiar with it.
Cameo is basically a online service where people can pay like shit. Let's say you want Ralph to sing you happy birthday, or you know, give a 30-second pep talk to your kid before the SAT for some fucking reason. Ralph will have a thing set up on a page where you can set, where he'll set a price and be like, all right, for a 60 second message, it'll cost you $50. You PayPal Ralph or go through the thing and give him the $50. And sure enough, Ralph will cut the video, hyping your kid up to go take the SATs, or he'll sing your mom happy birthday, or he'll, you know, wish your wife happy anniversary for you. He'll do whatever you want for $50.
Yeah, so as a real-life example of this, somebody I know had Sean Astin do a video for his kid on, like, his 10th birthday, I think because he was, like, a big Notre Dame fan, so he was
How much does Sean Astin cost on Cameo?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
I'm guessing, like, he's at least $1,000, right, the Cameo?
That wouldn't surprise me.
No. Have you ever been on that website?
No.
Like the most expensive, I mean, Pierre Thomas is on there for like $30.
Pierre Thomas is not Rudy. I mean, man.
But I mean, Rudy's probably like 250. Like it's pretty cheap. Like it's not, yeah. I mean, the most expensive on there, I think, is like Dennis Rodman for $500 or something.
Oh, wow.
Sean Astin is worth. Sean Astin's got to be worth more than fucking Dennis Rodman.
You think, but I don't.
Go on the website and look right now.
So if we were gonna, allocate,
if Pierre Thomas is 30, we got to pay Pierre Thomas to do an intro or something.
Yeah, well, no, I was gonna say if I paid,
he was like 20 a couple years ago, and my son broke his arm in the summer, and I had him like send a video to my son being like, keep your head up, it's all good. You know, yeah, I can't remember what he said exactly, but
so if we were going to use
$20, it was awesome.
If we were going to use Saints Happy Hour podcast money, and we were going to get the most ridiculous Cameo, who would we get, and what would we want them to read for us?
I think the actor that was Pee Wee Herman that was like masturbating in a movie theater.
Paul
remember?
The,
yes, I think he's on there.
Yeah. In the Pee-wee voice, good. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
good
one.
I think Shooter McGavin also, the actor that does Shooter McGavin.
Oh, no. Yeah, this is Shooter McGavin over Pee-wee.
We've officially entered the off-season zone where we're debating.
There you go.
Think it would be funny to make that guy reference his movie theater arrest, though?
He's not going to want to do that.
I mean, if we slip him, if we use the whole month of Patreon dollars, you know?
I want more value than that, man.
When's the last time you saw that guy on TV?
TV? I don't know. I'm sure he's had like a Netflix special or something. Like Paul Reubens been doing all right for himself lately. I think he's getting like a lot of residuals and like.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's turned his life around.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. They got a lot of people, man, that love Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
Like old middle-aged people at my office, they force their kids
to
watch it.
Dude, I grew up on that shit.
So now that we're in the off season, Dave, it is officially Drew Brees needs to work for the Saints for $8.50 and take a pay cut season. So
$2.83.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I did that wrong.
They were talking about today on the countdown on ESPN countdown that networks have approached him or whatever to be a analyst. They want Drew Brees to be the next Tony Romo. But my question to you, Dave.
I don't think he would be that good in that role. I don't think that's a role that suits him.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you listen to Sean Payton today?
No.
Why? He was pretty damn good on ESPN.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like Drew Brees would
What did he do on ESPN?
He was part of like the pre-game coverage with Randy Moss and Sam Ponder and Rex Ryan. It was interesting to me that Rex Ryan was on set next to Payton. I wonder. I'm sure it's all good between them, but you know, the whole Sean Payton fired his brother. Thing.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
Sean Payton was pretty good, but you know, He stopped short of saying Drew is definitely going to be back, but he did. I mean, the quote was like, yes, I expect him to be back playing next season for the New Orleans Saints. He said something like that. So, I mean, it was, he didn't say emphatically. I think Sam Ponder asked him again, you know, can you say with certainty? And he was like, well, you know, I feel confident that Drew will be quarterback in the Saints next year. So,
gentlemen, Brett Favre is on Cameo for $400.
Wow.
It might be worth it.
Is Shockey on there?
You know what? I'll try and find Shockey on there.
But listen,
if we can get Brett Favre on there to say that he does not think he was targeted, that would be great.
We need a GoFundMe for this.
We do. We need him to say something derogatory about Brad Childress for having 12 people in the huddle. That's what we need. And then saying something like, I was in Detroit, and that's why I threw the interception. I mean,
maybe have him say that Anthony Hargrove was unfairly suspended, and he wants to be hit by him again.
Poor Anthony Hargrove, man. The only person that really had, besides the Saints fans who had their 2012 season ruined, Anthony Hargrove is the person that got the biggest screw job out of Bounty Gate, because everybody else is pretty much fine after it, you know. But Anthony Hargrove, he never played in the NFL again, I don't believe.
Here's a good thing for our listeners. Send us, you know, tag at Saints Happy Hour, our Twitter account, and tag us with potential things that you would want us to get Brett Favre to say.
Yeah.
And the best submission, we'll try to make that happen.
I think you need to work in something about 12 men in the huddle, that compression sleeve that he hawks at 1 in the morning that I always see on a Saturday, and about his dong pictures that he sent to Ken Steiger. I think we need to work it all in. We'll pay him the $400. We'll have a writer's room meeting. And we'll write it up.
He has to say the words Tracy Porter and Anthony Hargrove. and he has to reference Remy Iadel peeing on the Vikings midfield. Or what was that, the Falcons? He did that,
yeah, too. I think that was the Falcons.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So
we'll give him a pass on that one.
We'll give him a pass. I think it would be well worth $400, you know? Oh, and by the way, this week, people, if you were at the $12 level and you qualified for your T-shirt,
my wife
is working on shipping them out to you, so you'll be getting them pretty soon. I'm torn about the Cameo. Do they have any other NFL people? Do they have any Falcons?
Oh, they have Lance Moore is on there.
How
much is Lance Moore? $50?
Yeah, something like that.
I want Roddy White. Is Roddy White? Or Mike Smith? Or like...
I don't think Mike Smith is going to be getting
a lot of...
If you get Mike Smith, I want him to talk about how he wears socks with mandals.
You pay for 30-second messages, and he waits until the 28-second mark before he starts talking.
What about Evander Holyfield or MC Hammer? They're like...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both on there.
Holyfield, I think, is on there, yeah. All right, I'm going on the website. I'm going to look now.
I got news, Ralph. What? Azigbo is on there for $25.
No, he's not.
I see him.
My
Divine
UDFA.
Azigbo, $25.
Adopted UDFA son who didn't make the
team. He's a Jaguar now, but I figured you'd still want.
Wait, we can get Larry Thomas, aka the soup Nazi, for $60. We can get him. We could probably get him to say no soup for you, and then we could use that as our sound bit.
I wonder the soup Nazi guy, like how many he churns out a day. You know? I get $60 a pop. Is he like, Deborah, no soup for you?
Oh wait, what? We can get Gilbert Godfrey.
I've heard stories that from some of these celebs, like they'll they'll pick and choose, and they'll do like maybe like 20 or so in a day. Like, it's not like they're sitting there for like 6 hours straight recording cameos. Like, they just pick and choose.
It's not like
Austin Carr, $25.
It's not like Pete Rose signing 700 baseballs a day in Boca Raton.
Basically.
We could ask Austin Carr to come on and explain why he hasn't caught a pass all year. DJ Spiller, $25.
He could just recount his one greatest Saints moment ever, the touchdown in overtime versus Dallas. So there wasn't much actual Saints news this week, Dave, except for Mike Nolan is going to Dallas, and Aaron Glenn may leave and be defensive coordinator for the Giants.
Jeff Blake, $30.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You keep talking. I'm just as I come across more Saints, I'll let you know.
So, Dave,
Manti Te'o, $100.
What? That's you not. That's
I wonder if we should get Manti Te'o to say that he's our fake girlfriend.
Nah, if you want him to mention the fake girlfriend, it probably like doubles in price.
Well, no, we should hire him as a girl. We'll pretend like we're a girl. And then
Garrett Hartley, $50.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Is Bobby Hebert on there?
Marcus Williams, $100.
What? Man, that is a...
I should probably filter by New Orleans Saints. I could do this a lot quicker.
Yeah. So...
All right, hold on. We got
Michael Vick is a brand.
We got 25. All right, we got Jeff Blake, Lance Moore, Austin Carr, Manti Te'o, Garrett Hartley, Marcus Williams, Willie Roaf, T.J. Green, Justin Hardy,
Jr.
Keith Kirkwood. Yeah, Ted Ginn is 350. And then you got Vince Beagle, former Saint. So there you go. That's all we got.
Ted Ginn is $350?
Yep. Jeez.
That's a stunner. I mean,
it must be $35 for each pass he's dropped this season.
Keith Kirkwood, $50. That sounds about right.
Ted Gregory?
I think he might be dead.
No, I thought he was still alive somehow.
Adrian Peterson, $200.
Whoa. Ted Ginn is more than Adrian Peterson?
I mean, I guess you can set your own price, huh?
Who sets the price? Yeah, you set your own price.
I mean,
and yes, Ted Gregory is still alive. My apologies, Kevin.
Ted Ginn has a high opinion of his celebrity.
Have you seen those chains he's been wearing post-game in the locker room?
It's true.
That doesn't pay for itself.
I know it's early.
Wait, who is this Genio Grissom?
Oh, he was like a pass rusher that was in training camp with us.
Yeah, his picture is when he was on the Saints.
Is Aaron Brooks
says
on Cameo?
He's
on
Patriots, though. He's $10.
Man, if we paid Genio Grissom $10, that dude would have to come on the podcast like 8 times.
I was going to say $10, a dollar a time, buddy.
what number was Tony Gonzalez? Was he 88? Did he wear number
88? Yeah, he did.
88. Yep.
80 or 88.
That's adorable. His price is $188.
Get the fuck out of there with that.
Plaxico Burris, $100. You can ask him why.
All right,
let's move on.
How much to have him shoot somebody in the leg?
Now we're having some fun.
I love the off season.
Grissom's $10,
but there's no actual news. But here's the thing, and I want you all to answer this as I try to get us kind of sort of back on football. But if I said
the live stream right now.
If I said to you, Taysom Hill, what's more likely? He charges $500 on Cameo, or the Saints are going to tender him at the first round status, which would pay him $4.7 million. What is more likely, Dave?
Wait, say it again. What was that?
That he's on Cameo for $500, or the Saints are going to tender him at the first round qualifying offer, which would guarantee him $4.7 million.
Who?
Taysom.
I would think that the Saints are going to tender him at the highest possible level, don't you?
Andrew, what do you think? Do you think the Saints are going to fuck around and try to tender him at the second round level?
Taysom?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. Remember, they can still match. They can still match any contract that someone offers him. But, I mean, I would be nervous. That's the thing. Like, you know, I would be tempted to tender him at the second round level. But, yeah, I don't know. If you're another team, are you giving up a second round pick for a guy that's not your starting quarterback?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We have Kevin, I don't see many teams doing that. I mean, the Patriots, well, the Patriots might, because they have, like, multiple second-round picks. And Bill, like, Taysom would give Bill Belichick a raging hard-on to be able to, like, I mean, Taysom Hill alone in New England would sell probably $8 million worth of jerseys the day they got him. Like, that would be, if the Saints tender him at a second-round level, Kevin, that's my fear, that New England steals him.
But again, like, I mean, if like Juge said, I mean, the Saints could match it, though, so.
Jason says, is Matt Ryan $328?
Yeah, maybe. Steve Weatherford, $50.
Steve Weatherford. The only thing I ever remember. He wore a watch.
Weatherford is actually, he's a fitness coach now. Like, he's into, like, bodybuilding. And
didn't he have a show? Like, a reality show?
He's kind of made a name for himself a little bit post-football, yeah.
Mm. Wait, who the hell? Who is Crank? There's a guy on here, Crank, for $5. You can talk to Crank. It just says he's a football player. Who is Crank?
Crank, it sounds like either a rapper or a villain on some Netflix superhero knockoff player. Show.
Crank.
Okay, so I got in a little Twitter spat with people, some guy last night. Totally random. He said that Lamar Jackson was... He said, Lamar Jackson... This is who Lamar Jackson is in the playoffs. And he tweeted a picture of Aaron Brooks. And I got mad at him. And I was like, has Lamar Jackson thrown 4 touchdowns in a playoff game? Show some fucking respect. And
respect on him.
Yeah, I didn't realize, though, that his followers... like, I didn't realize that he had, like, 40,000 followers. He was a whatever person in Kansas City. And, like, his followers...
Ralph, you're an Aaron Brooks stan.
I am. I'm a total Aaron Brooks stan. He's the second best quarterback in Saints history. Fight me. I don't care. So, the thing was, like, I tweeted out, and I didn't think of it, but, like, his followers are really weird, and they were, like a bunch of them, like, dug up pictures of me on the internet and were like, dude, don't worry about this guy. And one of them tweeted a picture of me from, like, 7 years ago when I was working out, like, every day. And it's me at the Bellagio Casino in Vegas, and I look fucking amazing. And I thanked the guy, and then it got really weird.
Where I just wanted to throw that. From Facebook?
I don't know where he got it, because I did a Google search for my name, and like, they had, like, 9,000 photos of me on Channel 4 looking like a douche doing the live hit every Monday. Like, he could have pulled that one, but he pulled the one from me at Vegas where I was working out, like, 5 days a week and eating, like, 1,400 calories. Like, I looked good.
Well, now I'm Googling you and seeing what comes up.
Just horrible.
Because this will make for some good podcast content.
You can Google my name and Muckrake comes up, and you can read every single column I've ever written. But no, my point is
a picture of Drew Brees comes up. While he's on the stand for his diamond lawsuit comes up when I search your name. Interestingly,
I had a lot of tweets about the diamonds. But the reason why I did that story, Andrew, is I wanted to talk about, just in the general sense, that in the playoffs, there's these, because it's the playoffs, the media and fans want to create these narratives of, like, oh, Lamar Jackson, he really wasn't good, he's not a pocket passer, and they create all these narratives off of one game, when really, and like, oh, Drew Brees, he can't cut it anymore, he can't throw deep, and that's why the Saints didn't win. When I just look at these playoff games, I look at them, I'm like, you know why these teams, you know why Baltimore lost? You know why the Saints lost? Because they turned the fucking ball over. That's why they lost. Like, it wasn't any more complicated than that. Like, Baltimore had 3 turnovers, Tennessee had none, and that will screw you in any football game, any year, the last 50 years or 50 years prior. And I just, that was the point I was making. I was telling the funny Twitter story, but that's the point I want to make is it that simple, and do we get caught up in these narratives over these playoff games where we want to make these grand sweeping statements about teams that lose, and especially the Saints, when it's just, it's just really simple.
It's one game. And you know what? I think I think I always felt this way, but this the playoffs were a nice reminder for me. Like, current momentum is total bullshit. It's like, remember 2009, the Saints lost three games in a row going into the playoffs before winning a Super Bowl. And I just think this notion that, like, you got to be peaking at the right time, or you got to be playing your best football in week 16, like, it all resets, and none of that stuff matters. And, you know, the Titans had lost to the Saints in week 16, and they got Henry back, and they've just won two playoff games in a row. Like, it's one game. Your coach has to come up with a good game plan. The team has to execute it, and it doesn't matter who's playing well. It doesn't matter who's playing poorly. It's one game, and whoever executes better wins. And it's a lot of it's luck, a lot of it's execution on that day. But I'm not buying into kind of these narratives anymore. It's just like football. We love to overcomplicate. We love to say Drew can't do this. You know, Sean's play calling is this. But the bottom line is the Saints got whipped up front. Period. The offensive line was not good enough. And yes, they could have run the ball better. Yes, they could have maybe the play calling could have improved. But, you know, would they have done any better if they run more? I don't know. The offensive line was not playing well in that game. And that's to me, that's the biggest disappointment, because when you paid Teron Armstead, who at the time when he got his contract, I think it was the richest ever for a left tackle. And then Larry Warford got a ton of money in free agency, and he's a Pro Bowler. And Andres Pete is a Pro Bowler, and he's a first-round pick. And McCoy, they traded up in the second round to get him. And Ramchek is an all-pro, and they drafted him in the first round. So they've invested heavily in that offensive line, and it's supposed to be really, really good. And at times this year, they looked phenomenal, but they just didn't show up and play that great. And the Saints got beat in the trenches, and, you know, that's probably the biggest disappointment about that game, because that was really where I thought the Saints would have the best chance of going far in the postseason, was leaning on this quality offensive line.
Well, just piggybacking on Andrew, you know, that's what's most frustrating to me, is that, you know, if we agree with Andrew that, you know, sometimes you could be a good team, you could be a talented team, you could have a good roster, but sometimes you just go out there on any given Sunday or Saturday or whatever, Monday night, and you just lay an egg. You just have a shitty game. You don't execute, like Andrew said. And that's what's frustrating to me, because the Saints almost still pulled out the win last week. They still almost, even though they didn't play their best game of the season by any means, they still almost snuck away with a win. And had they snuck away with a win, I think the Saints team is at least good enough to not play two back-to-back shitty games. I really do believe that if they had gotten away with a win against the Vikings, I really do think they would not have had two back-to-back shitty games. I think they would have come out and they probably would have played really great today. And I think they would have given the Packers a run for their money. I mean, the Packers looked good. Their defense looked good. They were putting a lot of pressure. So, I mean, that kind of concerns me. But I think they would have gotten their act together, and they could have potentially won today and could have been playing in the NFC Championship game. I mean, I know. Yeah. I'm not making excuses. But it's like Andrew said. I mean, like, you're talking about the Saints. They had eight turnovers all season, and then Drew Brees had like zero fumbles and zero interceptions over the last however five, six games or whatever. And then, you know, he throws an interception and he loses the ball once, you know, two turnovers. I mean, that's just,
that'll kill you.
That'll kill you. But that's it just happened to be the worst fucking time that he could have had that game. You know, but prior to that and leading up to that, he was great and he was just fine. And it just sucks that I don't know. It's just like Marvin Lewis in the playoffs. Marvin Lewis just can't win in the playoffs, and Drew Brees just happened to have a shitty game in the playoffs.
Well, no, but it makes.
I just want to, real quick though, I want to go back to like what we said before, in that I think I actually sympathize a little bit with Sean Payton, because I understand the thought that, hey, if Alvin Kamara can go on a run here in the playoffs. I believe he's healthy. I think is now. I don't know that this is what they were thinking, but I could picture them saying, "I think Alvin's knee is better, and I think his ankle is better. And if we can get Alvin back to being Alvin, and just have Kamara go off in these playoffs, then he's going to carry us to a title." And I could see them thinking that. And he it just wasn't there. It wasn't happening with Kamara. I mean, we saw ever since he got injured, when he came back, like there were flashes here and there, but he never really fully put it together. And I think Sean Payton, I mean, he was mistaken, obviously, but he was counting on that, because I think if he knew that Kamara was going to play like this, if he was going to play like shit in this game, I think he would have run the ball more and he would have leaned on Latavius Murray. But I think Sean Payton psychologically was thinking in his head, and I don't blame him for this, I think Kamara's recovered, and we need him to go off if we want a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, here's a question that I wanted to do earlier, but we got into the important Saints football hardcore stuff of who should we pay to do a cameo for the podcast. But Kevin, I want to ask you. I want to start with you, but I want everybody to answer this. You know, we talk about the offensive.
Justin Hardy is $20.
We talk about the Saints' offensive line, and it's performed bad last Sunday. It performed bad the last playoffs, kind of, and it's kind of health is not one of their skills. You know, they sort of the last 3 years, even they've sort of deteriorated as they got to the playoffs. And Andres Pete's a free agent. Warford's in the last year of his deal. And I want to ask you, as the only single person still on this podcast, in relationships, they always say sometimes it's better to end it earlier, a year early, than a year late. Get out before it turns terrible, then wait for it to become a total dumpster fire. So my question to you is, the Saints, offensive line, you look at it, it's still good. You know, they could get a guard or whatever. But do you think the Saints will look at it and say, hey, we get a chance to get rid of Pete. He's a free agent. Warford, it's on the last year of his deal. We're gonna tear this up and really renovate it and change it a lot. We're going to maybe get off of it a year earlier than we should to try to make it better. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, well, do I think it's possible? I'm hoping it's a possibility. I would prefer that the Saints look to improve the O-line and get another wide receiver in the draft. I saw somebody earlier today tweet out that it was something to the effect of, the Saints draft an offensive lineman in the first round, and we all bitch about it immediately. But then about a week later, we're all like, oh, no, that makes sense.
As soon as Teron Armstead tears a pec lifting weights in June. I cannot believe.
I'm all for them drafting.
I cannot believe that people still, for Saints draft Twitter, still tweet at me, I love the second round depth, Ralph. Do you think the Saints will trade down? I'm like, motherfuckers, are you new here? Do you not, like it's never happening? Or, Kevin, do you just have, like, 6 burner Twitter accounts and you just tweet that at me for fun? Like, I don't understand.
But, man, I am too lazy to have burner accounts.
I mean, it's just, I don't understand these people. Like, it's never happening. They're never trading down, ever. But Andrew, continue.
They're overdue, though.
I mean, you could say I'm overdue for my left hand.
That's like saying the Browns are overdue to make the playoffs.
I mean, eventually it will happen in 2050. I mean, on a list of things more likely to happen than the Saints, I mean, less, well, I don't know. Like, the Saints
Elvis
aren't
is still alive. That's more likely.
What is that?
Elvis Presley still being alive is more likely than the Saints trading down.
I would say us. Yeah, I would say Elvis being alive, Kennedy being alive, Barack Obama getting on Cameo. would be more likely. But here's my question, Dave, about the offensive line. Do you think the Saints are gonna go big money at guard? Because Pete's gone, and they'll say we want to get like a super duper $12 million a year guard.
I mean, that's kind of been their MO, right? They've always paid pretty good money for those interior O linemen. They paid Warford. You know, they
Who did they chase before they signed Warford? And they chased him hard.
Right.
Zeitler.
Right.
And then like 20 minutes later, they signed Warford.
Yeah.
It was Zeitler.
And how is he? Has he been any good? Because I mean, honestly, Warford
he's been pretty good.
If Warford was less money, I think honestly we came out all right on that deal.
Yeah, Zeitler's been good, but I would say that Warford's been better.
Well, Zeitler was $12 million. Warford is $8 million, and Warford probably gave you 85% of what Zeitler did.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, and what?
No. I mean, but Zeitler hasn't been to the Pro Bowl. Warford has, so. Yeah,
but he was on Cleveland, and then he was on the Giants.
The Saints made out on that one.
I mean, but Zeitler played for the Browns and the Giants. I mean, guards from shitty teams don't go to the Pro Bowl. That's just
but he only lasted 2 years at the Browns. That was my point. Like,
that's true.
I mean,
the Saints may have dodged.
I would say that Warford is a better player at this point.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I mean, you know, they value their interior offensive linemen possibly even more than they do their exterior offensive linemen. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they made that a point of interest. And I think they definitely prefer to go with veterans as opposed to, a rookie, unless they were going to spend like a first round pick on an offensive guard, which, I mean, you know, if it worked out, that's great. And if it's the best player available in the draft, that's great. But That is the least sexy pick you could make on day one of the draft. You're gonna have a lot of disappointed Saints fans if the Saints are drafting a guard on day one.
here's one of the last questions before I get to the questions that people sent me, and I find it interesting, and I want you all to answer. Kevin, I saw someone on Twitter say that this offseason for the Saints is going to be the most frustrating offseason of the last decade. Because the reason they said that is because if you're a team and you go 4-12 3 years in a row, you just say, fuck all this shit, fire everybody, let's start it over. When the Saints were 7-9...
Well, and there's also, you know, there's also very little room for non-improvement.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. When you go 7-9, you can say, God, just fix the goddamn defense, and we'll be fine. When you go 13-3, like, what do you do? Like, I don't know.
The chances of it going downhill are a lot more than a lot higher than of it getting better or even staying the same.
Well, why can't they sustain it though? I don't understand that.
Well, you know what? They can, and you know what? And
the Patriots have been doing that for 20 years.
Ralph, we never went over our preseason predictions. We never even discussed that. Because I think we felt that way last year. I did. Last year I felt like, well, there's no way they're going to go 13-3 again and have as great of a season as they did. And they fucking wound up doing it, and they did it with five games with Teddy Bridgewater, arguably making this season even better than last season. Andrew, you're right. There's no reason why you can't go 13-3 for three seasons in a row.
Has that ever happened in the NFL, in the history of the NFL?
I mean, the 49ers when they were good, the Cowboys when they were good, I feel like they were...
It's hard to do. I mean, obviously, the NFL parity reigns, but, I mean, it is possible. And again, I'm impressed. I think my prediction was like 11-5. I certainly was not thinking 13-3 again.
So you have to eat at Olive Garden twice.
Yeah, great, awesome.
Andrew, what do you have to do?
I think I have to drink a certain number of IPAs, is that right?
So two. Kevin, what was your prediction? What
the hell did I pick? Did I do 11-5?
I don't even remember what I picked.
I picked 14-2.
Wow, you were.
Was really. I had
and we probably all said you were crazy.
I know. And when Teddy Bridgewater.
Hold on.
Got...
Listen to this run that the 49ers went on, starting in 87. They were and of course they were in our division, which sucked balls. But they were 13-2 in 87, 10-6 in 88, 14-2 in 89, 14-2 in 90, 10-6 in 91, 14-2 in 92, 10-6 in 93, 13-3 in 94, 11-5 in 95, 12-4 in 96, 13-3 in 97, 12-4 in 98. So, I mean,
10 wins was the floor. 10 wins was the yes. absolute floor.
I mean, that was basically 10 years. 10 years of 10-6 or higher.
In 88, they went 10-6 in three-way. The NFC West had the Saints, 49ers, and the Rams, all 10-6. The Saints didn't make the playoffs. The 49ers ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Now, I would say it's harder to have sustained excellence these days with the salary cap. But when you have a culture – I mean, I just want to say, when you have Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and – You know, now I know that there's been some 7-9s, but that's been the floor for the Saints. And I just think when you have a culture of winning and you know how to scout, you know how to get the right guys in the building, you know how to win football games, I believe that the Saints approach business, football, all of it from the top down, they just approach it better than most NFL teams. And when you look at these teams that have been perennial losers in the last two decades, whether it's the Dolphins or Jets, Browns, Bengals, and sure, like, those teams have like occasional blips on the radar where they go 10-6 and you're like, whoa, what happened? Like maybe they're better now, but then they go right back to being terrible. The Jaguars have been one of the teams to recently do that. And I really just think it's from the top down, the Redskins are guilty of this. Like, I just think they run their business poorly. And whether it's an ownership that's meddling and they don't know enough about football, or there's just a bad locker room culture and they don't pay close enough attention to it, I think the Saints, I actually think this whole Junior Gallette and 7-9 period taught them a lot. They learned a lot about that. And it's not that they can't have a bad season or a losing season, but I would bet even after Drew Brees on the Saints having sustained excellence, because I believe they're a really well-run business.
Yeah, now, wait, going back to the 49ers, they also went through that amazing period while they transitioned from their Hall of Fame franchise quarterback to another new young quarterback. So does that sound familiar?
It does.
Maybe we can.
And the they transferred
here in New Orleans.
They transferred the transition involved a quarterback from BYU that liked to scramble. Oh, how about that?
So when I have to drink these two IPAs, picking what kind?
Yeah, I'm picking.
You can't do like some double IPA bullshit, all right?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna pick the hoppiest, bitterest motherfucker. I'm
I'd rather drink Cactus.
I'm going West Coast on your ass. Oh.
So
I think I have it worse than Dave. I would much prefer to eat at Olive Garden than drink an IPA.
I could probably find something good that I can eat at Olive Garden.
And no lunch. You got to eat dinner at Olive Garden. Do the tour of Italy or some shit.
Oh, and you have to finish the breadsticks. Like, you have to take video of finishing the breadsticks, the unlimited breadsticks, and ask for a refill.
I got some
video of you with your waitress and say, "Hey, I'm done with my breadsticks. Can I have some more, please?"
Oh God,
Kevin, this is a good question from Sev. Would an officiating calamity at the Super Bowl warm your heart?
Absolutely. I hope there's six of them. I hope there's one in the opening drive. I hope there's one late at the end of the first half. I hope there's one at the start of the third quarter. And then I hope there's three in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
I don't know. I feel like if they have as horrific a bad call as they have in the NFC Championship game for the Saints-Rams, that it'll make the Saints-Ram game, it'll kind of like bump it down the list, and I want it to be at the top of all-time worst.
Here's the thing that Saints fans need to ask themselves. Do we want shit to get fixed, or do we just want to be able to say that we had the worst call ever happen to us and we got screwed, boo hoo hoo, and just be able to hold on to that and nothing else?
Oh, that's true.
Plus, at the same time, it's like, and again, I'm not, it, this isn't total fucking, altruism isn't the right word, but somebody out there will know the right word for it, but it's not like I'm being pure of heart here. Again, I want the NFL to look as terrible as possible on the grandest stage of all to shame them into fixing rules or fixing the way they officiate games.
What about a J-Lo boob pop?
No. Look,
you know what I want?
Listen, you could have J-Lo. My choices could be, J-Lo will come and give you a lap dance in your living room, or you can watch referees fuck up calls. I'm going to take the referees fucking up calls.
I want a call so egregious in the Super Bowl that Trump tweets about it. That's what I want.
Trump's going to fall asleep. Trump's going to fall asleep by the middle of the second quarter.
No. All right. So, listen, I know Dave and Kevin aren't necessarily as big of LSU fans.
Go Tigers.
As me and Andrew.
Yeah, you know, there are people out there that aren't Saints fans and Tiger fans.
Dave, you are
rooting for LSU against Clemson, though, right?
Yes, of course.
Like, it's for business. But I guess for me...
No, not for business. But I mean, obviously, everybody I know is...
We need this.
Like, and hey, look, Joe Burrow has... he's won me over. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan.
And Andrew, I think me and you can speak to this maybe. Or Kevin, too. We, like, as a sports fan, me personally, I need LSU to finish this tomorrow. Because between the NFC Championship... The Astros losing four straight World Series games. The Saints losing another playoff game on the last play. I cannot have this much sports sorrow in barely over calendar year.
They're going to do it, man. They're going to do it.
They got to wrap this up tomorrow. I need this.
It's happening. I can feel it.
I tell you what, can I get my pick in and head out?
You can.
Go Tigers.
Absolutely, Coach. Tigers 41, Tigers 27.
Jerk off.
That's LSU winning, right?
Yeah.
That's all what?
That's LSU winning, right?
She'll work.
Kevin may not be a degenerate gambler like me and won a bunch of money gambling NFL games this weekend at mybookie.ag, but you should go there and still get 100% sign-up bonus and gamble on the last two weekends of NFL football. You're almost out of time. You should do it. Use the code CHAIR. You get 100% sign-up bonus. Do it now. Go to mybookie.ag. They have the best website, the most secure, best online gambling experience you can find anywhere. Use the code CHAIR, get 100% sign-up bonus. Mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, by the way,
my wife,
she had an aneurysm when I texted her that the Titans were up 14-0 and Tannehill was probably going to the AFC Championship game. The phone call from her, it was nothing but rage and hatred and bitterness. If Tannehill goes to the Super Bowl in Miami, I seriously worry about my wife's mental health. She is, I don't know if you combine that with the Astros losing, if she's going to be able to keep it together. Like, it's too much to bear. Kansas City needs to win next Sunday.
No way, man. I am rooting for the Titans all the way on this one. This is awesome. I can't believe they took down the Ravens, man. That was an awesome game.
Tannehill was 7-14.
He was Derrick like, Henry, man, what a beast!
Derrick Henry is God. I'm convinced the Saints they would have beaten the Saints if he was playing.
I mean, the thing is with Tennessee that baffles me is I get that the Saints. Henry didn't play, so we didn't get the full Titan experience, right? But their defense, like, I looked at it, I was like, it's okay, but it's not that great. And they have been fucking lights out for 2 weeks. Like, I did not get a sense.
Yeah, the Saints cut them up pretty good.
I mean, it took a while. You know, they shut the Saints down for a half. But
a quarter.
What's that?
A quarter.
Yeah, like well, about
a quarter and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Tennessee, it's just stunning to me that team is got a good shot to go to the Super Bowl. But anyway, everybody, this has been the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. By the way, thanks for the 7 people that signed up over the weekend. Joel, Amanda, they signed up for $7 podcast. If you sign up at $7, you get a koozie, you get a magnet, and if you sign up at the $10 level, you get Andrew's grades. He's going to grade every free agent signing the Saints do this offseason, and you get a sticker and the magnet and the koozie, and we had a part of Andrew's, not only Andrew's dad, but we had 2 other people sign up at the $30 level. If you sign up at the $30 level, you get a mug that celebrates 28-3, and you get to drink coffee and remind yourself of how horrific the Falcons were in a Super Bowl that one time. What better way?
Oh, you forgot to mention that I was quoted in a kid's book.
Oh yeah, you were quoted in a kid's. You were quoted in a kid's book.
I don't get this. So who?
It's insane.
Do you know who wrote the book? Do you know who?
No, his name is Jim Whiting. I have no idea who he is.
Where did he get your quote from?
So apparently, one of the listeners on our show clued me into this because I had no idea. So he sent me a tweet and he was like, "Hey, I noticed your name in this book. That's crazy." And I'm like, "What the hell is this?" So I find it on Amazon, and of course I had to buy the book. But like, this guy is like a kid's author, so he's got books on like, and it's like history of NFL teams, and you know, it's written for kids, and it's probably like, he's probably got about 20 NFL books. He's got like 20 NBA books on individual teams. And he's got like different sports, like mixed martial arts. And he just like explains all this stuff to kids. And it's crazy, 'cause the book is like maybe 30 pages and every quote in there is like Jim Mora, Bobby Hebert, like it's all former players and coaches, except for this one thing about the Dome Patrol, which he obviously lifted off Saints Nation, which is still, I guess, on the
Pay that man his money.
Royalties,
and it says longtime Saints blogger Andrew Juge. I couldn't believe it. Crazy. I'm famous. I'm announcing my retirement. This will be my last show. I've officially made it. Ralph, thanks for all the years of supporting me. But it doesn't get any higher than this, right?
It does not. You know, but I want to thank everybody for supporting us. Sign up, support the show. Do it every day. You're going to want your Saint fix. It's going to be free agency time before you know it. I'm sad when the Saints have lost. Obviously, we wanted to go to the Super Bowl, but part of me loves the off-season shows even more, because that's when me and Kevin and the rest of the and me, Kevin, Dave, and Andrew, we all get to shine, because we get to do serious, in-depth football discussions, like what Saints are on Cameo. And that's why you need to stick with us all through the offseason, because we're the best, biggest Saints podcast out there, and we're the most ridiculous. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.
Go Tigers!